You're listening to the Jewel City Podcast. You can join us in person Sundays at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. We have something for all people and all ages. Or join our live stream at 10 a.m. In this podcast, we'll hear a message from Pastor Robert.
So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. I have thoroughly enjoyed this six-week series, and today is the last week, entitled Spiritual Boot Camp. The book of Ephesians is the New Testament equivalent of the book of Joshua from the Old Testament. Ephesians is the book where the Apostle Paul commands us to be strong in the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't be a wimp. Look at your other neighbor, say, neighbor, be strong in the Lord. We are not weaklings. The world thinks that we are weakling. Do you hear me? Any old sick fish can go downstream, but it takes a strong fish to go upstream. We can go with the culture if we want and be weak. We can go but what everything else tells us, but we are strong in the Lord. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and be strong and courageous. Somebody give God a hand clap and a shout of praise. So that is just what God commanded Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, let me get some of my paper. I got so many notes up here, I don't know where I'm at from the announcement. Joshua 1 and 9, have not I commanded? Have I not commanded thee? It's not a suggestion. I've commanded thee to be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. This thought just came to my mind as I was reading that verse. Patrick and Kaylee going to be a new mom and dad, and maybe there was some seasons there where you was a little bit fearful and you maybe had some doubts, but when you're planted in God's kingdom and in the Word of God, he said, have not I commanded thee? I feel like he's speaking right now to both of you. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I just believe God just showed up a few minutes ago and said, hey, don't be afraid. I've seen your heart. I know what's going on, and I'm going to be with you. I believe what we've done today has encouraged them and everyone else in the room. Somebody give God a hand clap and a shout of praise. Woo! Joshua was to draw his strength from the Lord God and was not to be dependent upon his own abilities. When you begin to depend only on your own abilities, my friend, you will find yourself in trouble. Had Joshua and the people of Israel sought to conquer the promised land by the means of their own courage and their own strength, they would have failed. And when you and I get to the place we try to conquer the promises that God has given us in our lives on our own ability, we will fall short every single time. So here we go. Are you ready? I said, are you ready to take God at his word and fight for some new territory in your life? You say, well, I've got enough territory. I'm not talking about a property. I'm not talking about acreage. Are you ready to fight and stand and believe the word of God that you can reach out and receive new territory in your relationships, new territory in your children, new territory in your church, new territory at your job, new territory in everything around you. We have not because we ask not. The Bible said also that we perish because we have no knowledge. And today we are receiving the knowledge. Do you hear me? Paul is going to teach us about the armor of God, about wearing the armor of God. And I'm really not going to get into a lot of that today, the armor of God, but I'll share some here briefly. But before we get ready to war, before we get ready to battle, Paul's going to teach us how to submit. Somebody say submit. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. There ought to be some shouting here in just a moment. Children, obey. I want to hear an amen from somebody. Addie, you got your ears on over there? All right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is an important passage, not only for the day of Paul, not only for Ephesus, but for every generation. I'll read it again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Our generation, in my opinion, and if you disagree with me, you have every reason to be wrong. Our generation is a generation of problem children. Yeah. Amen. Oh, I figured some of the parents would say that. Our generation is a generation of problem children because we have a generation of problem parents. Oh. Sin in the parents' life, do as I say, not as I do, right? Huh? Your children are watching you. Yeah. One of the major causes of the tension is the failure to heed the instruction of God's word. If mom and dad will heed the instruction of God's word, then it'll be sowed. It's a generational blessing, but when you don't, it's a generational curse. So you want your children to do right, then maybe you might want to do right. Children and parents are to walk together under God's authority. To walk together, unified. Wow. The word obey means to submit, means to comply, means to follow directions, follow guidance or instruction. Why do we have a generation of problem children? Because mom and dad don't follow instruction. Mom and dad don't want to submit to nobody. Oh, it's quiet in the house. Everybody was shouting when I was picking on the kids. Right? To obey means to obey in the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean to do something wrong because mom and dad tells you to, morally or ethically or whatever it may be, says in the Lord. Do you realize that it pleases the Lord when you follow your parents' instruction? Listen to what Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Wow. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. I got to read it again. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. God help us. The best time to learn obedience and submission is of a young child, a young age. I was thinking about this when I was in school, a young kid. I spent a lot of time in the corner. Bruce said, surprise, surprise. Hey, Gomer Paul. Some of you know what that is, too. right? I spent a lot of time in the corner and I got to thinking about this. If a teacher would take a child today and stick that child in a corner, they'd be a lawsuit, right? Funeral this past week I went to, one of my teachers was there. He said, I knew it was coming. I remember you spent a lot of time in my office. Yes, sir. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. When I was in school, if you got out of line, they got a board out. Anybody remember the board? Yeah. The board. Yeah. Could you imagine? Come on. You can't even tell a kid to sit down and shut up. Then we wonder why, because we're not walking according to God's word. The best time to learn obedience and submission is as a young child. I'm on a roll. A lot of you, I hear it. One, two, three, four, five. My mom must never have learned her numbers. Never. Never. I can't understand it. I'm not saying be the kid. Parents, don't neglect to teach. I looked at my wife, I could just see it all over her face. She's just laughing at me. Don't neglect to teach respect for authority to your children. I'm going to say it again. Parents, don't neglect to teach authority to your children. God doesn't expect children to understand everything their parents tell them to do. He just expects them to obey. And that's the way it is spiritually. He's our Father. And He doesn't expect us to understand everything that He says. He just expects us to obey. Because the older I get, I have a little bit more wisdom. And whether you believe it or not, what I got to say might be valuable to my children or to your children. Do you hear me? God doesn't expect us to always understand. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, and this rocked me. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou may live long on the earth. I want you to compare the lives of those that you know that have respect for authority, and then you look at the lives of the people that you know that have no respect for authority. There is a vast difference in their life. Do you hear me? You need to hear me this morning. All behavior has consequences. I'm not against Coach Huggins, Bob Huggins, not against him. I pray he's doing well. But someone was sharing with me this morning a little bit about how he's doing right now and different things. His behavior had consequences, and he had millions. God will not be mocked. You better hear me. If his millions couldn't save him, your $0.100 ain't going to save you. You hear me? God doesn't expect us to understand. He expects us to listen. All behavior has consequences. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to go back to verse 2 and 3 a second. To obey parents means to honor. The word honor means to esteem, to value as precious. to show respect, to show reverence, to show kindness. And as I thought about this over the last couple weeks, I prepared this, you know, for last Sunday, and God showed up and did what he does best. But when I thought about this a lot, what got me from the bar stool to here in my life, not here? What got me there? Well, it was the Lord, it was the Holy Spirit, it was all those things. But I respected my parents. And I used to hide my car behind the Odyssey Club, the bar. I started going there when I was 16. All my friends were 19, 20, 21. Not a good thing. And I used to hide my car behind the Odyssey Club. My dad was an insurance man. My dad knew everybody in the county, Tri-County. And one day, one Friday night, I started to leave and get in the car, and he said, "Hey, you can hide your car, but God knows where you're at." And he said, "You better be careful." I'll tell you, John, that hurt me. I believe the reason that kept me somewhat from being locked up somewhere or doing something stupid and hurting somebody else is the respect that I had for my father and my mother. Value, the word honor means value as precious. They were very precious. They trained us upright. Scripture is not speaking. You need to hear this, everyone in the house that was shouting. Scripture is not speaking to any certain age child. We're all children in this house. Every one of us have a mom or dad. Do you hear me? It's not speaking to only the children, but to every one of us that still have parents living. And I'm so thankful that I got things right before mom and dad passed away. There is dishonor to a parent. There is neglect to a parent. I'm talking to adults now. There's ignoring of your parents. And I wrote this down just a little bit ago. Grandchildren. I'm amazed at the people that get upset with their parents and they keep their children away from their grandparents. You are about as immature and your walk with God as you can be. You know, this is kind of like castor oil. Anybody remember that? That's what I thought. Some of the young people go, "What's he talking about?" I can't imagine, because I'm upset that I would keep my grandchildren away from my parents. Ephesians 6 and 4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And you fathers. And you fathers. That's what it says. I didn't write it. And you fathers. Children learn their values from the authority figure in the home. That's where they learn their values. If you're disrespectful to your wife, they'll be disrespectful to their spouse. If you're disrespectful to the people in the restaurants and whatever you're doing, they'll follow those footsteps, 9 out of 10. Whew, help me, Jesus. Let's go. Someone say, "Move on." It don't get much better. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Whew, My goodness. Your work ethic on your secular job is a concern to God. You hear me? We'll say it again. I think you might have missed it. Your work ethic on your secular job is a concern to God because it concerns your character. You hear me? How do you act when nobody's looking? When you're at work? Verse 6 says, eye service. You only do what is right when someone is looking. How do you work when the boss is not there? Maybe he's on vacation or he took a day off or whatever. What do you do? You only want to do what's right when somebody's looking? God never sleeps and God never slumbers. You hear me? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, with God will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Reciprocal reward. You're going to reap what you sow. Can someone say amen? Amen. Verse 5 and 6, it says, working with the fear of God in their heart, with respect and eager to serve his employer. Singleness of heart, work with sincerity without slack. You just don't beat in time. Because we offer our labor to the Lord. Can I tell you something? And I'm being as honest as I can be. We are rewarded by the Lord. By the Lord. Not by the person that we work for and not by the place that we work at. We are children of God. We are in the kingdom of God. I love Rusty with all of my heart. He's my boss. He's the chairman of the board of this house. And I will never put him in a position that he has to come to me and say, you're slacking. You are not doing your job. That would break my heart. When you go to work, you don't have to tell people you're a Christian. You just go and let your light shine and be early and stay and do what they ask you to do and do it in excellence, because everything that you are doing unto the Lord. But I tell you, man, I got a pet peeve with people that just want to show up and slide by and don't do a thing at all. My goodness. Hey, we are supposed to give our employer a good day's work for a good day's wages. And let me tell you, the society that we're living in, I got a friend here today, and I'm not going to call him out by name. It wouldn't bother him, but where he works, it might get him in trouble there. He works hard. He's there early. He does everything they ask him to do. And you know what that creates? It creates favor, but it also creates tension among the other employees because light shines on darkness, and it makes them look bad. But don't worry about looking bad in their eyes. You just do everything as unto the Lord and do it with excellence and watch God promote you and move you up the ladder. You don't need to rub elbows with nobody. You need to rub your knees on the carpet with God and do what God intends us to. Am I preaching to anybody in the house? Young people, you just show up early and do, oh my goodness. I just looked back and seen the Southern family that owns Subway. She just told me yes. Now I'm telling on myself where I ate yesterday. I didn't eat no bread. No. Hey, said we can't get nobody to work. Am I telling the truth? You know why nobody wants to work? Because we live in a society that if you stay home, somebody's going to feed you. Well, that's not God's word. God said get a job, go to work, and work hard and watch God promote you. Give God a hand and a shout of praise. Amen. Woo! We're to be slaves. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. The term means a servant, humility. Jesus came to earth not as a king and a conqueror, but as a suffering servant. None of us in this room, none of us from here to there, clearing about anywhere, none of us has any justifiable excuse for ever saying, that job is beneath me. None of us. I worked this week with an eye surgeon, an eye doctor that was mud from his feet to the top of his head. None of us are beneath any job. When we have concerts, whatever, I need to clean bathrooms, I'm in there clean. I'm not trying to exalt me, I'm trying to tell you that's what we do. Do you hear me? I spent time with Boone and his son this week, and I told my wife, she can testify, I said, them's good people, the ones I've worked with, the doctor and Boone and Devin, and spent a lot of time in a truck with Boone this week. I said, I get nervous around people with all kind of degrees and all kind of education. I can't speak English, let alone Spanish, and someone went in the back was saying, and nothing against that, but I just fit in. I told Aaron this morning, I just fit in with those kind of people that just down to earth every day, American blue collar workers that love God. Do you hear what I'm trying to tell you? None of us are beneath any job that God would ask us to do. Do you hear me this morning? None of us ever have a justifiable reason for saying they were using me at that church. I'll tell you, we celebrate our volunteers here, and we couldn't do a thing without our volunteers, but there have been some people come to our church and say, well, I was just used over at that church. Can I tell you, when we give our life to the Lord, we sign up to be used by God. And if you do everything as unto the Lord, it don't matter if the pastor pats you on the back or not. You just keep on doing it as unto the Lord, because the pastor's not the one that's going to reward you at the end of your journey, but the Lord will stand and say, enter in, my son, my daughter, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Somebody give God a hand clap and a shout of praise. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9. And you masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is in any respect of persons with him. The manager, the owner, the employer. You're supposed to treat your workmen just like you want to be treated. And I don't say it because of me, again, or the board, but you can go and talk to any employee here, and I would be shocked if they did not tell you they was treated with excellence and loved and taken care of. And you that own a business, or you that don't own a business and you're a manager, you're a boss, then you need to treat your people, you need to treat the people that work underneath you with respect and treat them the best and make it so good they don't want to leave and go somewhere else. Am I preaching this morning? Huh? My nose is running. That's a problem. Ephesians 6 and 9. Treat people right, and they'll want to be with you. God is no respecter of persons. You hear me? God is no respecter of persons. God is a respecter of principles and of passion. God is looking for somebody that has the principles and the passion to do what he's placed you to do. If you're a nurse, be the best nurse on the floor. Be the best nurse in the hospital. Be the best nurse in the state. You know what I'm saying, huh? If you work for the state road, be the best state road worker that they've got, right? We all make those state road jokes when we drive by. One leaning on a shovel and 12 supervising. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, those things just come to my mind. They make me laugh. When you're in a position of leadership, how many's in a position of leadership? Raise your hand. Man, I'm all over your porch, right? Don't take advantage of others. Don't take advantage of others. Lead by example. Let them see you mopping the floor once in a while. Cook them a lunch once in a while. No one should lead that's never followed. I believe that. Nobody should lead that never follows. Joshua was a great leader because he submitted to a flawed leader like Moses. He submitted. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is a mandate from God. This is a mandate. Not to be weak, not to be passive, indifferent. Don't be a whiner. Be strong in the Lord. The strength of God is not proven by how much you can avoid in life. I say it again, the strength of God is not proven by how much you can avoid in life, but it determines on how much you can endure. I got a letter here that came a couple weeks ago. I got three children. I believe all three of them's in the house. Pastor Aaron and Cindy sitting right there, and Trevor. Cindy's mother sent this letter. She buried her son, Cindy's brother, a few months back. Something no parent should ever have to do. But it happens. And there's a lot of them in this room that's been down that road. But it's what you can endure. And when I read this letter, Pastor Aaron gave it to me. He said, I hope all is well. Been meaning to send this check. She sent a check for Jewel City Church. Her son's name's Jay. He said, Jay would love to bless the church for their prayers, their love, and their support during this very difficult time in our lives. On behalf of the family, we thank you for all of your efforts, sacrifices, and your prayers. We'll always be grateful. Please extend my regard to the church family. She lives in California. The strength of God is not proven by how much you can avoid. It's proven by how much you can endure. And in a terrible time of her life, she leans on God. Ephesians 6 and 11, there is an enemy of the Christian soldier. There's an enemy after your soul today. Satan, the devil, is after your soul. Ephesians 6 and 11 said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles means trickery, means deceit, means craftiness. The enemy will always tease you with something, put something lustful before your eyes, but he'll never show you the end result. He never showed Bob Huggins determination. You understand what I'm saying? He'll show you the fun, but he won't show you the pain. Satan will present something to your eyes. You need to be careful. As my dad said, you need to be careful. Put on the whole armor of God and put off your own ideas and your own strategies. The devil's too smart for you. Can I tell you, you think you're smart? Old smarty pants? The devil's too smart for you in your own strength. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't respond in the flesh, because you're actually being attacked in the spirit. Just maybe a month or so ago, and I mentioned it briefly, but somebody attacked me on Facebook, somebody that I've never met, somebody that I've never had a discussion. And the phone began to blow up here at the church, and my phone, and a staff member's getting text messages and everything. And I can honestly say, and this is just because of walking with God, the amount of time that I've walked with God, it didn't make me mad. It really didn't. It hurt me. It hurt me because I knew my battle was not with flesh and blood. And it was in the spirit realm. There was a battle going on in the spirit realm. So, you know, when you see those kind of things on Facebook, don't even go to bat for me. Don't even do it. Just begin praying for the person. Because, and I try, sometimes I still get hot in the flesh, you know, and I want to react. Friend, that's not the way to do it. Take it to God in prayer. stand with me this morning. And maybe I'm going to have you stand too early, but I just feel like we need to stand. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't respond in the flesh. Listen, I'm teaching. I'm trying to help you this morning. Listen to me. Don't let the problem that you're dealing with back you away from the promise. I'm going to say it again to this side. Don't let the problem that you're dealing with back you away from the promise that God has for you in your life. We're in church, and this place has got a heck of a crowd here today. But I'm telling you, we're all got problems. And there's all of us got things we could lay at the foot of the cross. Don't let the problem back you away from the promise. Counsel, tremendous counselor. Pastor Rita, Michelle, Pastor Micah. I've heard Pastor Rita, and I've told Pastor Rita this. I've had so many of you tell me that Pastor Rita has helped you tremendously. And counsel is great. I'm not putting anything against counsel, but you need to hear me on this. Sometimes counsel won't work. Sometimes you've got to wrestle. You hear me over here? I said sometimes counsel is not going to work, and you've got to wrestle. You got to wrestle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Right there is the duty of each one of us as Christian soldiers. It's our duty to put on the full armor of God. When you get up in the morning, nobody's going to dress you if you're an adult. At least I hope not. So how are you dressed in the spirit realm? It's your duty to put on the full armor of God. It's my duty to present it to you. There was a series, I don't know, a year and a half ago, when I used this guy, and the series was on the full armor of God, and the title was Built for Battle. Do you remember that? So it's not my duty, it's our duty. We cannot withstand unless we've done our duty. Listen to Romans chapter 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. The day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. It is his armor, but it's our stand. Are you going to stand? Seriously. Or are you just going to fall over every time something comes? We must engage in spiritual warfare because Satan, he opposes every step we take. That day on Facebook, that was nothing else but a target of the enemy to try to disrupt me. But you know what I said to him? This honest God's truth. I said to the Lord, Lord, I ain't worried about this. And Lord, I began praying for that individual. God, as my witness, I went to my office, got down on the floor, and began praying for that witness. And I felt the Lord in my spirit say, your reputation of 30 years will withstand one Facebook post. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Give God a hand. Clap of praise. You got to engage in spiritual warfare from time to time. You know, as a parent, we try to make everything easy on our children, don't we? We try to take away all their pain and everything. Friends, sometimes they just got to wrestle. Sometimes they got to be able to battle. I'm going to say this. People are not your enemy. Do you hear me? People are not your enemy. The devil is your enemy. All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll try to be quick. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's going to be a code put up here just in a minute, a QR code. You can take your phone out right now. Some of you may already have it and you're on Facebook. Take time out. Take your phone out. take a picture of that, and you can go to that QR code. And that series that I preached, I believe it was 7 weeks, on Built for the Battle, on the armor of God. If you don't have a phone when you leave today, on the counter out there, there's also a sign-up sheet, and we'll give you a DVD of the whole series, Built for the Battle. And also, if you'd rather take a picture of the QR code, it's out there on the desk also. So let's wrap this up right here. Ephesians 6 and 18, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There is supernatural provision for the children of God, the soldiers in the army of God, and that is prayer and walking in a spirit of prayer. How many of you ever been, you just driving down the road and you see an emergency car go by and you just start praying for them? And you don't even know who they are, right? You see Health Net coming in and you just begin praying, and you just wake up in the middle of the night and you pray for people. And when you're driving and you're praying, just keep your eyes open, all right? Keep your eyes open. Listen, pray always for God's protection. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There was a men's Bible study going on. Week one was 2 weeks ago tomorrow. Really, it was a meet and greet. We had over 60 men. We break off into small groups after we eat. And what are we doing? We're learning how to be men of God, learning how to treat our wives, and learning how to deal with the things in life. Guys, it's there for you. Women's Bible study's coming up, and I think they got 80-some or 90, 100. I don't know what they got. They're kicking our you-know-what, guys, all right? We're trying to equip. And I'll close in saying this. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, and for me, Paul's writing, and he said, and for me the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And listen to what he said. This is before somebody could tear you up on Facebook when he wrote this. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Those that carry the mystery, and that's the gospel of Christ, they're on the devil's hit list. You hear me? Those that carry, that's all of us. Those that carry and are not ashamed and speak up boldly, Doc, there's a target on us. And I come to accept that a long time ago. People get mad and they leave the church over foolish things. My mentor, we were sitting in Captain D's, and this was probably 27 or 28 years ago in Charleston, and he reached over and he took a bottle of ketchup. He said, that bottle of ketchup represents the bus. He said, every bus has one bus driver, and his job is to drive the bus to the destination. And along that journey, somebody's going to stop, and somebody's going to get off the bus. He said, hopefully you helped them, and hopefully they helped you. He said, Pastor, just keep driving the bus. Listen, I'll never make everybody happy. And people that leave here or tear me up on Facebook or tear you up on Facebook, most of them don't even know who you are. But God knows who I am, and God knows who you are. Let's all learn God's word. Let's work together. Let's grow together. Show honor and give God all the glory. Give him a hand. Come on, bless the Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Every Christian in the house, I'm speaking to you. How many's going through some difficult times, some struggles, some areas you need help in? Raise your hand. You need peace. You need deliverance. You need God to set you free. Do you hear me this morning? And I'm going to stand right here, and I ask you to get out of your seat and join me. Come right here. I ain't going to beg. I ain't saying another word. I'm waiting. People coming from all over. I don't have no great, beautiful prayers, but I got a connection to God. And I can't change anything in your lives. I can't change a thing. But I'm connected to the one that can. There's no question in my mind. You stepped out of your seats and you walked down here in front of hundreds of people. And I believe God's going to meet you here. So I want to stretch my hands towards you. And I want to pray for each one of you. Father in heaven, God, I humbly come before you, Lord. And God, I honor you, God, and I give you all the glory and all the praise. And God, right now, God, I stretch my hands toward these wonderful men and women, children, God. And Lord, I don't know the needs of anyone. Don't know what's going on in their lives. I don't know the pain, God. I don't know the worry. I don't know the fear. I don't know the doubts. But God, you know all. God, you came. You came to serve us, God. And all this has already been nailed on the cross. Nailed to the cross, God. God, they're heavy laden and they're weak and they're weary. You said, come to me. That you would give us rest for our soul, God. So, Lord, that's what we're asking for. God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would open up the windows of heaven as we sang about earlier. Let your spirit, let it rain on these people, God. Lord, I pray you lift their burdens today, God. And Lord, I believe that there's many others that for whatever reason, pride or just fearful or whatever, didn't get out of their seats or maybe watching by live stream or television, God. But I pray that you meet them right where they're at, God. I pray, God, they feel your love, God. And Lord, they would step away in a moment, God, and feel like their pressure and the worry and the pain and the fear is gone. And God, they would be courageous. Lord, help them, God. Help me, Father, in my life and in my family, God. Lord, we just want to honor you, Father, and give you all the glory and show our respect to you, Father, for you are so precious to all of us. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed this morning. Don't leave this place not knowing Jesus. Don't leave it. Don't leave it. From the youngest person to the oldest in this house, don't put it off to tomorrow. That is a trickery. That is a lie from the devil. Because the Bible says tomorrow is not promised to no man. So as every head is bowed, if you're here today, you would like to give your life to Christ, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to drag you down here. But right where you're at, would you lift your hand up and say, I need Jesus. Is there one? Slip your hand up high. Slip your hand up high. Is there one in the house? I see your hand. Is there one in the house? I see your hands there in the back. Three hands there in the back. Somebody else this morning. Somebody else. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. You need the Lord as your Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Would you do that? And listen, you got to mean it from the bottom of your heart. And it's not the end. It's the beginning. The beginning. There's a journey. There's a road ahead that God wants you to walk. Pray this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, today I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me, Lord. From this day forward, I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to put on the armor of God. I'm going to learn, and I'm going to walk with you, God. Lord, I'm sorry, and I repent of my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Could everybody in the house give God a hand clap and a shout of praise?
Thank you for listening to the Jewel City Podcast. You can join us in person Sundays at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. We have something for all people and all ages. Or join our live stream at 10 a.m.